And we're so glad you're with us today. If you're new to us, welcome. We're so glad to have you with us. We got a not quite a light subject today, so just been working on my heart with this. We're talking about forgiveness today. So as pretty much everyone in this room knows how hard that could be to forgive those that hurt us. So we all have a choice, revenge or forgiveness, retaliation or release, as we release the children. Awesome. Have fun, kids. When the children's pastor's up here and they all run away, is that a bad sign? I'm just saying. Well, as we get into forgiveness, a hard topic, just start with something light. There was a minor offense avenger in my family. I didn't ask them if I could share this. I'll only say I might have grown up with them in the same household, younger than me. But that's all I'll say. But his thing was, if you did anything to him by accident, it was crazy. He would do it to you like five times as hard. So for an example, if I like barely brush into him, bump into him on accident, he just want to like shove me. What's your deal? You did it to me, I have to do it to you. The biggest one I remember is stepping on the back of his shoe. He would just get so mad and he would just like stomp on the back of my shoe. So just that idea of choosing vengeance as opposed to forgiveness. And it seems so silly to do it under such minor accidental circumstances. But what happens in our life when someone hurts us in a more serious way? I listened to a story online about a child with an abandoning father. And it was a tough story to hear, heartbreaking for him, and even just to hear the story. Because he was so close to his dad. And I remember as a child I just always been close to my dad. And I remember him coming home from work, and I'd be so excited for him to come home from work. And he'd sometimes bring home like rubber baseballs, and I'd play pinners on the stairs. You guys ever played pinners? You'd throw like a rubber baseball against the stairs and try to hit the edge and make it bounce like crazy. That's what we did in Chicago. All right. But this guy was so close with his dad. And his dad had a problem, though, with alcohol. And he had been to probation for that. It seemed like he was getting better. But then he got out of probation and bought alcohol for his friends. And he saw his dad start to drink, and it just knots in his stomach. He just knew what was going to be following from that. And things went downhill, and his father told his mother, "I'm done. I can't do this anymore." She said, "Please, I can't raise these six kids by myself." But he left anyway. So what about situations like that? I think the world around us would be understanding if we don't have forgiveness for someone that hurts us in that way. But the thing is, we're all humans and we're all fallen sinners. So we've hurt people in many ways, and we've also been hurt in many ways. So what are some ways you've been hurt? I'm sure even as we talk about this, these things that have broken your heart come up. Some people have stolen from us, people that we trusted even. People have neglected us, abused, hit, hurt physically, been lied to. Sometimes it's worse when someone hurts or kills someone else that you love. Sometimes there's abandonment. Now, in these moments of greatest hurt, what are we going to choose? Are we going to choose revenge or forgiveness? Today, we're in Matthew 18. So if you have your Bible with you, we're going to be in Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. And this is the parable of the unforgiving servant. So from the title, I think we're going to guess what he's going to choose. But God is going to teach us through this who he is, how he works, and how he wants us to operate. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, Pay what you owe! So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, Have patience with me and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we've received so much mercy from you, so much forgiveness that we didn't deserve through Christ and his sacrifice. And God, you call us to also forgive. But God, in our fallenness and our sinfulness, it's hard for us to forgive those that have hurt us, especially those wounds that are so deep. So God, I pray you be with us and with our hearts, transform us, renew us, help us to love and forgive as you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Our first point is we must forgive without limits. And I like this. Peter's a pretty cool guy, right? He's always so, like that kind of a deal. But he was like, Jesus, I'm going to impress Jesus. I'm going to say, hey, Jesus, how much should I forgive? Like seven times? And he's thinking Jesus is going to be like, wow, Peter, you're so forgiving. High five. You're awesome. Because the rabbis of that time would have been teaching people, like, forgive three times. After that, forget about it. All right? So when Peter says seven, he's like, boom, I'm multiplying this. I've learned. He is showing that he's learned from his Lord, right? That Jesus is forgiving. He has learned that. But Jesus is going to say, you're missing the point. Not seven, but 77 times. All right? And it's not about the number, right? It's like, keep the tally. 51, this person's really messed up in my life. 52, 53, and that's just one day. I'm almost done. I'm almost done with this person. All right? So that's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying, you're missing the point. It's about the heart. All right? So maybe Peter's saying seven instead of three. But he's still keeping a tally, right? And here's the thing. God doesn't want us to be keeping a tally. He doesn't want it to be about, like, just duty. It's my duty to forgive. It's horrible, but Jesus forgave me. I have to. Fine. You're forgiven. I really don't like you, but I forgive you. I'm not really sure it's from my heart, but you know how it goes. You know, we know how that goes, right? Yeah, I forgive you. Yeah, maybe. Maybe not. All right, but what Jesus is saying, it's about the heart. He wants the natural inclination of our hearts to be forgiveness all the time. Because we have Jesus, how many times have we sinned against him? Seven? 77? Millions? And his inclination is to forgive us over and over again, to have mercy on us. And he desires us to have that heart. But what's really cool is the numbers that we see represent here. Go with me to Genesis 4:24. And remember, the numbers were 7 and 77. Genesis 4:24. First book in the Bible. And this is Lamech, all right? Doesn't exactly have the most peaceful loving heart. We're going to see an example of extreme rage, extreme vengeance. And he's going to say, I killed a man, right before that, I killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. And then in verse 24, he says, if Cain's revenge is sevenfold, then Lamech's is 77-fold. What you see there is, all right, an eye for an eye? No. Cain goes beyond that. He just kills, right? And this young warrior wounded me, and I just killed him. And anybody gets in my way, you hit me, I'll kill you. You steal from my house, I'll burn yours to the ground. That vengeful, rageful heart. And that could develop within any sinful person, right? That can build up, especially if we harbor resentment and unforgiveness in our hearts. That could boil over from anger to hate, right? Can't that happen? And Jesus is saying, I think when he points us to 77, I don't think it's a coincidence, because what Lamech has is an extreme form of vengeance and rage and unforgiveness. So when Jesus says to Peter, 77, I want you to have an extreme, radical forgiveness. So the exact opposite of Lamech. He's going to never forgive. He's always going to get even times, tons more. I want you to forgive multiplied times, tons. Does that make sense? So what he's saying to Peter, I want the forgiveness to be from your hearts. And I want you to have the opposite heart of Lamech. I want you to have a heart that overflows with forgiveness. And how do we get that heart? We walk with our Lord. We walk with our King, who forgives like that, who shows mercy like that. We think on his mercy and his forgiveness towards us. We think of where we were when he saved us and how he's changing and transforming us. And we desire that for other people. And we have mercy because our King had mercy on us. And that leads me to my second point. We have a King who forgives without limits. So Jesus gets into his parable here. And in the parable, the king went to settle accounts to receive what his servants had owed him. Now, what do we owe to the king? We owe him our everything, right? And were we faithful servants to the king? We live that sinless life that we're called to. Any of you guys got that down? No. So we are all, like we're going to see in this sermon, with this servant, this unforgiving servant, we're in the same shoes as him, okay? So they brought to him, look if you go to verse 23 and 24 there, he's going to have a servant there that owes him 10,000 talents. And it says he was brought to the king. Now, you could imagine if you owed a lot of money to someone and you knew you couldn't pay it back. All right, so you owe billions of dollars to the bank. Are you going to walk up to the bank store? Hey, guys, how you doing? I brought you guys some cupcakes. Or are you going to run and hide away from them, right? So when it says he was brought to the king, you get the idea of like, they dragged him out of his house and they got to like tug him there because he's got no interest going before someone that he owes so much and has no chance of paying back. Now, the point is brought home hugely by Jesus because one talent equals about 20 years worth of labor. One talent, 20 years worth of labor. How many did he owe? How many talents does it say that he owed? 10,000 talents. So he could have paid it back in 200,000 years. Okay? I'm sorry, but there's not enough push-ups and sit-ups and burpees in the world that are going to help you live 200,000 years. So what is the point that Jesus is driving home? He stands no chance to ever pay back this king. We stand no chance to ever pay back this king. Sometimes we hear it. I used to think it before I was saved. I'm going to get my life back together. I'm going to straighten up. I'm going to get on God's good side, and then we'll be cool. I can't pay back the Lord. My sins put Jesus on the part of putting Jesus on the cross. There's nothing I could do to pay back. This sin needs to be accounted for. We're all in the same position. We have a debt that we can't pay back. In verse 25, the king does the justice thing and orders him into slavery until he could repay. And when could he repay? You guys remember? Could he ever repay? Yes or no? He could never repay. So how long was he going to be in the slavery? Forever. We can't pay God back for our sins. So how long will we be enslaved to the sins unless we receive mercy? Forever. So what is this a picture of? Hell. He was doomed, completely doomed. And rightly so. He owed a debt, sold into slavery. Sorry, that's what happens. This is the justice that the king could rightly order you to. But then in verse 26, the servant's going to beg. He fell on his knees, imploring, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." Begging, pleading. That was all that was left to do. He couldn't make it right. All that was left to do was to beg and plead for mercy. So the king owed him nothing, said, "Too bad. Why'd you do all those things?" However, it doesn't say how he got all that debt, but you could imagine not all of it was good. And for all of us, we have all of these sins that we've committed. And the king could just easily say, "Look at how many times you disobeyed me, rejected me, neglected me. Sorry, buddy. Too bad, Dave. You blew it." But the king looks down on this servant probably in a puddle of tears. He's desperate. "Please, please have mercy on me. I'll pay you back." Have you ever promise to do something to someone if they'll only give you another chance, even though you really don't even have the chance to do that thing, but you're just so desperate? I'll do it. I will. I'll get it right next time. I will. That's basically what he's saying. I will pay you back. Okay, you better live a long time. But the king looks down on him. And this king is not the type of king which is merciless. Strict letter of the law, you're done. It's a king who's merciful and forgiving. A king who forgives without limits. He looked at that man in his need, and he had mercy on him. You see him put his hand on his shoulder. "I forgive you. And I forgive you your entire debt." And say, "You know, I'm going to give you a little more time to pay me back. All right, I'm going to cut the debt down. You only have to pay 5%. I completely forgive you of this debt, which would have run in the billions of dollars." That's extreme forgiveness. And this is the way of the king. And we know who the king is, right? The king's the Lord. This is the way of the Lord. I want to read to you a letter that a father wrote to a man who took part in his son's death. "Hello, you're probably surprised to be receiving this letter from me after what you and the others did. Your actions led to the death of my beloved son, who I love so much. But I heard you in the courtroom when you asked me for forgiveness. I could tell in your voice that you meant it. I could also tell that you really did not accept to receive it from me after what you did. But I do forgive you, truly and completely, from the heart. And I want you to know that I love you, and I'm adopting you into my family. Forever your Father, God. It's a letter that God could write to us after we were accomplices in the death of Christ, nailing him to that cross. We hear something like that. When we hear stories like that of like someone hurting or killing someone that they love, and that person forgives them, we're like, how could they do that? Why? Don't do that. We're almost like frustrated with them when they do forgive. Like, how could you forgive them? Look at what they did. It's terrible. It's horrible. Don't forgive them. They're a disgrace. Read this letter. That's a letter that God could read to us. When you lay on your face before God and are honest about where you are, you don't have to play games or hide or play nice or play good boy, good girl. He knows. He knows the sins you've committed against others, and even the ones that have been committed against you, and the hurts. You fall on your face in repentance before God, like the servant fell on his face before the king, and you pray and you repent of your sins and believe in Jesus, your Lord and Savior. This is the letter. Like something like that could be read to you. You're forgiven. And not only forgiven, adopted into the family of God. It's a great blessing, amen? Extreme forgiveness. Sins could be costly, but they could be wiped clean by Jesus. And this king wiped the debt clean of that servant. And that's a picture of what can happen for you through Christ. So we're all guilty as charged of sinning before a righteous and holy God. We don't play games with scales. Well, the murderer is here and I'm here. We've all sinned in so many ways against God. And we can't make it right. Can't be the good boys and good girls walking enough people across the street. Donate enough money to charities. Sin's too costly. Jesus died on the cross, right? So we stood doomed. We need to remember that when someone affronts us. Someone hurts us, breaks our heart, devastates us. We stood doomed before God. Forgive all of your sins that you'll ever commit. We need to remember that when we stare in the face of that pain, that anger. Repent, fall on our face, and beg for mercy. Receive extreme forgiveness. For those who have yet to believe, you can receive that today. Extreme forgiveness. It's the way of our Lord. So with the servant receiving such extreme mercy and forgiveness, his heart should have been prepared to share it with others. With those of us that have believed in Christ receiving such extreme forgiveness, our hearts should be prepared to share that with others. And that leads to my third point. Unforgiveness is unacceptable. Unforgiveness is unacceptable. We, who have been freely forgiven, didn't deserve it, guys. I didn't deserve it. None of us deserved it. But we've been freely forgiven through Christ. We must also freely forgive. The servant in this story didn't get that memo. And a lot of times, we like to take that memo, crunch it up into a ball, throw it in a corner. I didn't see it. Not this time. Not after they lied to me again. Not after that boy could have said, not after my dad left us in the lurch. Yeah, This is great and all, but you don't know what happened to me. He lied to me. You don't know what he did to my son, my daughter. They stole everything I had. I trusted them and they took everything. God's word stands forever. This man just been forgiven, this servant just been forgiven billions of dollars in debt. Verse 28, goes out and finds someone who owes him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay me what you owe me." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him. Sound familiar? Fell down and pleaded with him. "Have patience with me and I will pay you." And this guy could have paid him with enough time and with enough relatives and friends gathered together. "Hey, help me out here. Help me out here. I'll pay you back." Could have happened. He refused and put him in prison until he should pay the debts. So, sound like he learned something? Forgiven billions of dollars. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. 2 days later, he's choking a guy out for a fraction of that. "I'll pay you back. Please have mercy." "Yeah, I was just there, but I don't care." "Go to jail." Jesus is showing us what it can look like after being forgiven of so much by Jesus for us to just be harsh, unforgiving, relentless. Maybe we say they deserve it. We all, if we got what we deserve, where would we be? You got to keep that in mind. So the debt owed by this guy was 100 days worth of wages. So decent chunk of change there. But you can't find your place to forgive him after you've been forgiven of so much more than that. Unforgiveness is unacceptable. But I will say what the man owed wasn't exactly like chump change. 100 days worth of labor. So if you have a calculator, you could multiply your annual salary or whatever you make in a year times 0.27. Or to make it simpler, you can just say take 1/4 of your salary. And that's what this man owed him. So as you could imagine, if you lend out that much money, I always say borrow. My wife's like, "Don't say borrow, it's lend." All right. If you lend out that much money, is that right? I hope so. It's not a small thing, is it? If someone's desperate came up to me and said, "I need 1/4 of your annual salary," and I'm like, "Hey, you said I'd get that money back today." "Sorry, dude, I don't got it." "What? I have rent, like, in 5 days. I got student loans." If that happened to me, it'd be # can't pay the bills, # defaulted loans, # begging you guys for money or something like that. All right, so bad news. And not a small thing, nothing to sneeze at. I think when this parable shared, a lot of times because the comparison's so different, it's looked at like this guy owes billions and this guy owed me a Snickers bar and I choked him out. It wasn't like a totally insignificant amount. But in comparison, it seems that way, doesn't it? But keep this in mind. The hurts that you've taken upon yourself, that have been put upon you, God has been affronted so many more times by all of our sins and rejections and neglect and lack of appreciation and lack of worship from people that he's created. But that doesn't mean he doesn't see what you faced. He knows that person abused you, neglected you, stole from you, left you, whatever is in your head that God has placed there now, he knows. He sees. Like the VBS shirt, and it was like, God sees, God knows, God loves. Say, God sees, God knows, God cares, God loves. He sees it. He knows it hurts. I just wanted to add that in there because it's not God. God has a heart for you. He loves you. It's not like, I've dealt with so much worse, get over it. That's not God. He knows that you've been broken and battered and abused. And he cares, and he wants to help you work through that. He wants to transform your heart to help you to forgive that. But for this man, who is completely desperate and doomed, nowhere to turn when the king came before him, all he could pray for, mercy. Please have mercy on me and wash this debt clean, please. And the king had that mercy on him. And to turn around and do this, it really does show a sign of a lack of heart change, a lack of gratitude towards the king. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be easy or happen overnight. But if we appreciate what the king did for us, our prayer needs to be that God will help us do that for others. So it might not be overnight we forgive somebody, but it probably will mean we don't choke them out, right? It'll probably mean we work through this with tears, with God and prayer. It probably won't mean kick them into prison and hope for their doom. We think this way sometimes, don't we? Especially right after the hurts. Are we thinking, come and give me a hug. I love you. I forgive you. Come here. Ah! I hope to get it. Not going to say it out loud, but in our hearts, our sinful hearts, these things happen, right? God wants us to be working through that. Remember with Peter? Overflowing extreme forgiveness. Does that happen overnight? No. None of us are there. But he wants us to be working towards that. So this man didn't seem to have any sort of reaction that we would hope for after just receiving such grace and mercy. We need and want God's mercies for ourselves. So let's not turn around and seek an eye for an eye when someone needs our mercy and forgiveness. Isn't that how we want it, though? It's like, how many times we hurt someone, the same people, right? And we're like, will you just forgive me? I said I was sorry. Get over it. Oh my goodness, what do you need? A pound of flesh? Please, let's just move on. Can we just move on, please? And then when someone hurts us, we want that pound of flesh, right? I can't believe you. Just can't believe it. So if we want that mercy, that forgiveness, that clean slate, we want to be receive that embrace from God, full forgiveness, that peace that comes with that, the joy, the freedom that comes from that. God doesn't want us to withhold that from other people. He calls us to be the forgiven forgivers. It's a good way to look at Christians. We have a Lord that freely forgives, and he wants us to be forgiven forgivers. It's the way of our Lord. I believe in you. I want you to be my Savior. Do you want him to be your Lord? Because the way of the Lord is forgiveness. No one said it was going to be easy. Didn't Jesus talk all the time? Count the cost. This is the way. The world's going to tell you, forgive them? You should never talk to them again. Oh, you should ask for forgiveness? I don't think so. They should be asking you for forgiveness. You call them? They need to call you. You guys played those games before? It might be a long wait if two people in their prideful stubbornness are waiting for the other person to bend in this regard. They've wronged me more. No, they've wronged me more. Vicious cycle could turn into Lamech. Vengeful, vengeful. Need to get even. So God is going to help us to work through this, and it's His way. But it's hard, amen? In verse 31, the king's other workers were distressed by the cruelty of the forgiven servants. The forgiven servant who had become so unforgiving. So even the people around him are like, dude, this is messed up. Have you ever done that? You've seen someone being so cruel to somebody, and you're just like in a grocery store, and they're just being so harsh to each other, and you're like, this is messed up. This isn't right. I bet we've been the person losing our cool every once in a while, and everyone's the one looking at us like, that ain't right. But the king's workers saw that, and they reported it to the king. The king doesn't need reports from humans, okay? So if you think you could shove these sins under the carpet, he knows. And he's ready to forgive you, so you don't need to hide it anymore. Don't play perfect. Fall on your face and repent of your sins and beg for God's mercy and forgiveness. Believe in Christ and receive it. But the king's men reported it, and the king, not so happy. Very angry at the ingratitude of this servant who had been forgiven so much. I forgave you so much and you turn around and act so mercilessly? Really, this was like just the other day. And this is where you're at in your heart after receiving that forgiveness. He was so angry. Shouldn't you have had mercy on this servant like I did you? And then as if to say, if justice without mercy is what you want, then it's what you'll receive. Is that what you want for others? Justice without mercy? You did this, you get that. You did this to me, you're going to get that. Step on my shoe, I'll stomp on yours. Is that what we want? Justice without mercy? Because if that's what we want for them, then we want them to go to hell. That's the truth. Justice without God's mercy leads to punishment for all of us in hell for our sins. We should not want that for people, right? Do we want that for ourselves? We want the mercy for ourselves. We need to give it to others. So he was sent to debtor's prison until you could pay back. When could he pay back? Never. He was sent to hell. He didn't ever really give God his heart. He really didn't ever truly serve the king, as the Lord. Went somewhere with eternal separation from, we want God's mercy, we want God's forgiveness, we want God's love, and he didn't want to be part of that kingdom with his life, with his lifestyle. Sent away from it. Then the parable ends in a sad way. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Scary. Not about being perfect forgivers, okay? It's not about our actions, it's what Jesus did for us on the cross. But we want him as Savior, but we also need to have him as King, as Lord. In his way is the way of forgiveness. And we need to repent of our sins and be thankful for that forgiveness and extend it towards others. If we're a real servant of Christ, that is the demeanor of our hearts, or the demeanor of the hearts where God is getting us, if that makes sense. It's not about being perfect, it's about giving God your hearts, praying to God to help you to forgive those who have harmed you. So returning to the story of that man whose father abandoned him, for 3 years, all he had to say to his dad was mean, foul, horrible things because he hated him. I hate you. That's all he had for his dad for 3 years. He was invited to church, the old church he used to go to, and he heard a sermon where he said, believe in Christ as your Lord and Savior, repent of your sins, turn to him as Lord, and be saved. And he went forward. And he said before he could even go back to his seat, he felt in his heart being told, go see your father and tell him that you love him. He knew it was from God. He just got saved, and before he could even sit down, that was the pull. So he set up a visit with his dad. His dad paid for the bus ticket. He said he could just remember all the stops. It felt like he was on that bus forever. And when you're nervous, everything seems to take forever too, right? So he gets there, and he apologizes to his dad. And say, you hurt me so bad. Apologize, and I'll maybe forgive you. I'm sorry, Dad. I shouldn't have talked to you like that. I shouldn't have treated you like that. It wasn't right for me to do that. And his dad says, I forgive you. I forgive you. He goes, I haven't been a good father to you. Or you forgive me. They embraced and hugged, and all was forgiven. And that was a happy ending to the story. Right? And that's what we want for these broken relationships. We want forgiveness. And it's not always going to work out that way. Not everyone who's hurt you follows the Lord. Not everyone who's hurt you is going to seek your forgiveness. But you could do what you can do in your heart between you and God, between you and your Lord, between you and your King. And Jesus will soften your hearts to get you there. Gives us the power to forgive where we held a grudge before. Matthew West has a song called Forgiveness. It goes like this. It's the hardest thing to give away and the last thing on your mind today. It always goes to those that don't deserve. It's the opposite of how you feel when the pain they cause is just too real. It takes everything you have to say the word forgiveness. It flies in the face of all your pride. It moves away the madness inside. It's always anger's own worst enemy. Even when the jury and the judge say you got a right to hold a grudge, it's the whisper in your ear saying, set it free. Forgiveness. It'll clear the bitterness away. It can even set a prisoner free. There is no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you see through eyes of grace. The prisoner that it really frees is you. Forgiveness. Show me how to love the unlovable. Show me how to reach the unreachable. Help me now to do the impossible. Forgiveness. I want to finally set it free, to show me how to see what your mercy sees. Help me now to give what you gave to me. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is a hard thing. As a believer in Christ, is there anything harder? Is there anything much harder than that? Forgiving those that have hurt us so deeply? If you have a situation where forgiveness is needed, but extremely difficult, you're not alone. Look around. All around this room have people that have been hurt and broken by other people. And all around this room are people that have hurt other people as well. Now, after I pray, we're going to do some songs, but you are free to come up and talk with us and pray with us, or even a shoulder to cry on. And even after the service, there'll be people in room 101 And all throughout the week, there are people here at this church that love you and want to help you work through these hard things. These are not things that happen overnight, but God wants your heart to be moved towards giving forgiveness. If you never receive the forgiveness that could only be found in Jesus, today you could be set free of all those wrongs. Like that servant who was on his knees, puddle of tears, have mercy on me. Our king is not the guy who choked him out. I had a view of God as kind of like an angry father growing up when I wasn't a believer. But our king's the one that wraps his arms around you. He says, I love you. I forgive you. I forgive you of everything you've ever done wrong. You've repented and believed in Jesus, your Lord and Savior. You could receive that extreme forgiveness today. And we'd love to pray with you for that too. Let's pray.